Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, boo. Welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, good Sunday morning, good Sunday morning. Hey, we want to thank those people that are tuning in live this morning. I want to thank my grandson, the wonderful Isaiah, as he does each and every time we come on the air and introducing the show. Such a wonderful thing to have my grandson involved in helping me share the powerful information that we share here on these airwaves on Home-Based Business 101. And again, we want to reach out and, hey, we want to say thank you to the 41,675 listeners that have tuned into a show here on Home-Based Business 101, truly making this definitely listener-supported radio via the Internet. Hey, you know, I think back to the day when I first started this program and I wanted to go on traditional radio and, you know, looking at money I would have had to go and pay to be able to get studio time and then have to get there and, you know, and work the controls and do all of that stuff, and someone turned me on to this. They said, you know, you like talking, you like radio, you want all to do all of that stuff. You know, the wave of the future is the Internet. They said they got something now called Internet radio, and that's, you know, we're talking about today is the wave of the future, not necessarily in terms of this specific radio program, but in terms of, again, the power of the Internet and what's going on. And so that's how I got ventured into doing Blog Talk Radio, and it's just been a beautiful, wonderful journey. I'm just so glad that a family member, you know, pulled my coat and opened my eyes to that. And excuse me, I'm going to pull some people's coat this morning and open your eyes to some things that you might not have thought of. And then some of you, you might have already thought of. And so, you know, the whole thing is that, you know, we got to understand what's going on. Marvin Gaye used to say, what's going on? Hey, what's going on? We need to know what's going on. Well, today, you know, hey, we're going to share some information from a powerful, powerful book that one of my mentors turned me on to 3 weeks ago. He was on a conference call, and he was reading some stuff from this book called Wave 4, Network Marketing in the 21st Century. And everyone that's listening, they might not be a network marketer. You know, some are, some are not. Some, you know, what is this network marketing? Oh, boy, going to try to sell me something today. No, what we're going to do is we're going to just basically make sure that you understand what is going on. We're not going to talk about any particular companies or, you know, pitch any companies. We're going to talk about some companies, but we're not going to pitch any companies or pitch any products this morning. You know, I do that on another show. In terms of a particular network marketing company and vehicle that I'm a part of. But we want you to understand, when he says wave four, network marketing in the 21st century, you know, why it's so important to understand what's going on. You know, we see tremendous downsizing today, you know, with companies and layoffs and everything. And on page 7 of the book, you know, in the first chapter, The New Pioneers, you know, it talks about the death of jobs. See, and this is so key because when we listen to these people debate here on Capitol Hill about, you know, hey, they need to create more jobs, you know, well, quite frankly, to be honest, see, they know the real deal, that the way the economy has shifted and moving, it's going to be darn near next to impossible to create a whole bunch of new jobs. They better create some. Era of jobs has come to an end. Let's look at this page right here, go into some comments, things that I want to share from this opening chapter of the book, The New Pioneers, The Part to Death of Jobs. It says, in the sovereign individual, economic forecasters James and Dale Davidson and Lloyd Williams Riggs Mogg predict that the 21st century will see the death of jobs as we know them. Only in recent years, they explained, has the word job come to imply lifetime employment. Past generations understood the term to mean a one-time task that you were hired to do. A blacksmith, for instance, would get a job shoeing a horse. A seamstress would get a job sewing a dress. But no one expected those jobs to last for life. No one expected health benefits, pensions, or gold watches. before the industrial era, they write. Permanent employment was almost unknown. In the information age, see, hey, key word right there. See, people don't keep up with ages. Thing, we was in the one time in the industrial era, yes, jobs. Jobs were created as corporations were created and factories were created and jobs were created. Now we're in the information age. It says, in the information age, Riggs, Mugg, and Davidson predict the word job will return to its old meaning. It will refer to a specific and temporary task. Already, major corporations such as AT&T have eliminated all permanent jobs categories, they observe. Positions in the large firm are now contingent. Former Labor Secretary Robert Rich estimates that 20% of U.S. workforce is already employed, self-employed today. If Riggs, Moss, and Davidson are correct, that figure may approach 100% in years ahead. Woo! Hear that? These people are predicting. See, these economic forecasters that meet with the government and everybody, they know what's going on. They understand what's going on. But do we, the everyday person, understand what's going on? Again, going back to Marvin Gaye, hey, what's going on? What's going on? So if there's something that's taking place called the end of jobs and that's how the economy is shifting, what are you going to do for economic survival? What are you going to do for economic survival? Key question to ask yourself. I mean, back in the day, you know, Adam Smith wrote the book called Wealth of Nations, and he talked about the whole key of business and people being able to find a way to earn and make money. Then we ended up in this industrial area where we became dependent upon other people to do for us what we need to do for ourselves. One of the things he talks about, again, you know, going to chapter 4, chapter 4 is called Acres of Diamonds, and a lot of you might be familiar with this story, but we're going to rehash a little bit of it and, you know, put it in the context of what we're dealing with today. You know, and it goes sort of like this. It says, many centuries, and this story was shared by Dr. Russell Herman Conwell, who was the founder of Temple University. He made his money doing this lecture and raised enough money to build Temple University, which was a university that was built. I'm trying to remember the exact. Purpose of why he built Temple. But it was for a good purpose, a very, very good purpose. Many centuries ago in Persia, a farmer listened to a storyteller. And the tale concerns something called a diamond. According to the storyteller, a diamond was a congealed drop of sunlight, a gem so precious that any man who discovered a mine of them would be richer than any king. The farmer had never heard of diamonds before, but now he had. He burned with desire to lay his hands on such a treasure. It happened that this farmer owned many fields of orchards. He was a wealthy man. Yet from the moment he heard about diamonds, he felt like a pauper. The one thing in life that he really wanted to have, that he could not have. The thought of all those diamonds laying undiscovered somewhere in the world tortured him in his sleep. So one day he sold his lands and set upon a quest. The farmer wandered through Africa, Palestine, and Europe in search of diamonds. At last he arrived in Spain, a bitter old man. Dressed in rags, overwhelmed with desire, he threw himself into the sea and drowned. Never once in all his travels had so much as glimpsed a single diamond. He never found his diamonds. Meanwhile, back in Persia, the man who bought his fields made a startling discovery. He found a diamond embedded in a black stone. Further investigation revealed that there were literally acres and acres of diamonds concealed beneath his property. In time, the humble farm came to be known as the Diamond Mine of Gaconda, the richest ever found. If only the Greek farmer had content to stay at home, the wealth he craved would have been his for the taking. Now, what's the moral of that story? You know, the moral of that story is that we all have some, you know, hey, you know, it's Sunday morning. Some of you tuning in with us this morning, you know, we appreciate it. You know, before you go to church or going to your place of faith, you know, we all hear the story about, you know, to give some talents that God has given us. You know, we all have acres of diamonds in our own backyard. We all have gifts and talents, acres of diamonds in our own backyard. Now, I'm not talking necessarily about, we're talking about, you know, the actual physical diamond, but, you know, in the sense of a diamond or something that we, a gift, a talent, something that we have that, again, we throw away. Going searching for a job that doesn't exist no more. That's the sad part about that. You know, people, I see people who are frustrated and upset, you know, and I'm still trying to find a job, man. I ain't been able to find a job. You know, and they get mad, you know, and they hurt, and they go through a whole bunch of pain, you know, and I'll be trying to tell them, hey, you know, come on, check out what I'm doing over here. You know, I can show you how to earn some money. Man, I ain't interested in doing it. I want a regular job. You know, I have too many more regular jobs, my brother and my sister. You know, you can look for one. Keep on, you know, keep on trucking, baby. You know, and you find one, it ain't going to last for so long. I've seen people that have switched jobs, you know, over and over. Now, you know, hey, if you got a gift or a talent, you might can get yourself a contract. Or you could check out network marketing. You know, either way, you need to be self-employed. You need to learn how to be self-employed and develop your turnkey system. Let's look at a phenomenon that, you know, it really needs to be understood and studied because they don't really have, you know, the best food in the world to make a bunch of daggone money. But the key is understanding the system, a turnkey system. And what I'm talking about is something I call the McDonald's effect, the McDonald's effect. We've all heard of McDonald's. Hey, the phenomenon takes us to the name from two brothers, Maurice and Richard McDonald. Back in 1948, they invented a new way of serving fast food. Their drive-in hamburger stand in San Bernardino, California, ran like a Detroit assembly line. It had a stripped-down menu, offered only burgers, shakes, and fries. Using similar standardized procedures, they filled orders in record time. Customers flocked to the restaurant, which the brothers had named after themselves, McDonald's. In 1954, though, a milkshake machine salesman named Ray Kroc visited the restaurant. He was so impressed that he made a deal with the brothers to franchise their concept. Kroc agreed to sell McDonald's franchises for a, check this out, y'all. Even though, again, I don't like the food, but from a business point of view, for those of you that think about business, sold McDonald's franchises in 1954 for a $950 fee. How much one of them bad boys cost you today? Again, I don't really like the food, you know, but a lot of people that's into business and want to make money, you know, they fork up some hefty money to get a Mickey D's today. But the key what we want to understand here is it's not so much them, but the system. Ray Kroc looked at how to put a system in place that would take a concept that these people had and be able to duplicate, replicate, and make it, as he called, idiot-proof. And so he went back to Chicago and, you know, began building, you know, the perfection. And if you go in any Mickey D's today, you go in, you know, you look up there from, you know, the fries on the left, shakes on the right. I mean, all of them are set up the same, but they even have what's called Hamburger University, you know, where they take you to a place to learn their system. Again, their food ain't all that great. Matter of fact, there's some issues with some of the products that they sell, but I'm not here today to take on a liable suit for picking Mickey D's apart. I'm just going to, you know, leave my comments right there at that point. But, you know, the main thing is that the system. And from out of that, you know, people began to look at how to put together systems that can duplicate and build what you want to build in terms of business, and especially in the field of network marketing. He said, now what does McDonald's have to do with network marketing? And what it has to do in terms of with network marketing is having a system to run your business. See, the McDonald's brothers, they were satisfied with just, you know, selling a few burgers, some shakes and some fries, you know, and they had the concept of one store. They wasn't really interested in franchising and all of that. You know, they let Ray go ahead and do that thing. But their thing was, you know, hey, they found something that they liked doing. And a lot of times, see, we have something that we like doing, but how can we take it to a bigger scale? For those of us that's, you know, looking to increase our wealth, you might say, well, I'm not interested in that. You know, well, I am, because, see, I also have a nonprofit. I have to make money to do the social good that I do. So that's, you know, why I'm involved in business, and that's why I'm involved in network marketing, is, you know, I work on social good. Me and my wife have our own 501c3, and we do youth and community and family development work. So we have to make the kind of money that we want to be able to reach back into our community to do the work that we want to do, because all the time a lot of people say, well, you can get a grant. Well, they, you know, just like the end of jobs, you know, hey, grants ain't rolling like they used to roll, for those of you out there. And those of you out there, you know, you might be involved in your church or something, and there's some things that you want to be able to do to help the community. But I'm here to tell you today that network marketing is the best way to go to help you with your social mission. Now, let's look at a couple few more things from out of this book. I'm going to go to, hold on here. Right, right back here with you. I'm going to go to right here. I lost my page in the book. Hold on. Bear with me. Listen more. There I go. All right. Yeah. Okay, there's seven pillars of success that he talked about in networking. This is page 145. This is some great stuff here. Because, see, again, I used to talk about the McDonald's piece, because you got to develop a turnkey system. He said, turnkey systems are the engine of the Wave 4 revolution. For that reason, 21st century MLM firms or multi-level marketing firms do not demand heroic feats of entrepreneurial creativity from their distributors. They demand only that you work the system faithfully and tirelessly. This is accomplished by adhering to a few simple principles that I've named the seven pillars of Wave 4 success. See, this is key, because this is one of the things that I always do when I bring people into my particular business, and they say, you know, they like our concept, they like our product, they like what we do. It makes sense. And then I tell them, okay, you know, yes, you know, I have no problem, but, you know, you're doing some few creative things, but there's a system that we have in place. And if you're coachable and trainable, then you'll be able to make the money that I'm making, and probably even more. But if you want to reinvent the wheel, you go ahead. And when it works, get back to me, because I have a system that I follow, and I'm going to stick to that. Okay, first thing you need to do is, pillar number one, this is so important, never give up. See, every success story in network marketing is a tale of endurance in the face of hardship and discouragement. The Wave 4 revolution does not eliminate hard work. Turnkey systems are excellent tools, but they're only tools. A craftsman must steal well them energetically to get the job done. Do the work and work your business, and it will grow. It may take years. There may be setbacks and disappointments along the way, but if you stay the course, you will reach your goal. This is key, because, see, there's some people that think the way to succeeding in network marketing is jumping from company to company. I know people that have left a company that I'm in, and since left have been through five other companies. All they need to do is stick and stay. See, first of all, you need to make sure you evaluate where you go, where you get involved with, you know, from the beginning. Do your due diligence. You know, make an intelligent decision so that you don't be jumping, you know, from one thing to the next, because you will not have no success in this industry jumping from one company to the next. You just will not have any success. There's people going to lie to you and tell you, you know, they do. They have those people that jump. What they do is they move people around. They'll make the money, but they're suckering you. A lot of people, they don't want people to hear that, you know, is that I've watched people leave our company and take people with them. A lot of times people leave a company because another company offers them a payout. They get the payout, you don't. So, you know, make up your mind that you're going to stick with the company. Yes, there's some people that you want to make sure that you connect with some decent people in the company, because, see, once you plant your flag, and the next you need to do is pillar number two is you need to find a mentor. Network marketing is based on a sponsorship principle. The person who recruits you to the business, your sponsor, is in charge of training and managing you. But your sponsor may not always be qualified for the job. Sometimes you have to track upline, go over your sponsor's head to his sponsor or her sponsor, or his sponsor and her sponsor, to find someone with the experience and skill to act as your mentor. Don't be shy. Keep searching until you find the right person. Securing an able mentor should be your very first task, searching your way for business. So you've got to have a mentor. Not only in network marketing, you have to have a mentor in business, period. I am so thankful for my mentors who have mentored me along the way. So thankful for my mentors who have mentored me along the way before I even really, you know, planted my flag in network marketing, being a business owner, learning business, you know, having mentors. Father A.J. McKnight from Lafayette, Louisiana, you know, mentoring me business-wise and spiritually-wise. You know, thank you, Father. I appreciate it. Francis L. Warren, who first Black Regional Commissioner of HEW, Health, Education, and Welfare, grew up from a child being on welfare to one day managing welfare. I thank him so much for the time we spent together in New Orleans, and he mentored me on business and business development, character development. I cherish those lessons. Robert Clay, who's an ancestor now, ooh, powerful brother out of Baltimore, Maryland, who mentored me, self-made millionaire. See, if you want to become a millionaire, you need to go find a millionaire and you know, one that's credible, one that's decent, one that you like, one that has good values, and then just listen to them and do the things that they tell you to do. Well, it's the same in network marketing. You got to find a mentor. A lot of times a mentor's not going to be a sponsor. Sponsor means well, but sponsor's not there yet. But someone that's in the company that's making, you know, that money, you know, because basically you got in the company to make money. You know, you can say you love the product, this, that, and the other, but the bottom line is you really want to make some money. That's what, you know, people, the product just sort of put the icing on the cake. But you really want to make some money, so you need to make sure you know how to do that. And I'm thankful that in the business that I'm currently in, that I have a mentor who's a millionaire. And, you know, we talk at least 2-3 times a week. I make sure that events that he covers, that I'm there. I always ask questions. And when he tells me, this is how you get it done, I don't say, well, you know, I don't want to do it that way. I want to do it this way. You got to have a mentor. Okay. Next is work the system. Oh, this is the one that really messes a lot of people up. See, and it's because, again, when we say, you know, everyone that's a network marketer can identify with this. We tell people come in and be coachable. Your way for business is based on a turnkey system that were put in place long before you joined. The very fact that your company is successful means that the system has proven itself in the marketplace. Take advantage of this fact. Work the system just as it is presented to you. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. See, you get people to tell you, I don't want to do it that way. Well, you know, I tell them, I'm not helping you do it another way. If you want to do it a different way, you go ahead. You have the right to do that. Don't waste my time. You know, and when it, you know, it works for you, get back to me. I might look at it, but we got a proven system. You know, it's just like I have people, you know, on my particular team who, you know, working to help. You know, me and my wife, we get $500 bonuses. You know, and so I tell people, too, you can consistently get more $500 bonuses than I do. I'm following the system. Let me show you how to follow the system. Of course, there might be several different upline leaders in your company with different strategies for working the business. Follow the strategy taught to you by your particular mentor. See, people want to sometimes do a little this, a little that, but no. You're going to hear different ways that some people in your company do the business. If you have somebody to mentor, you follow the strategy taught to you by your mentor. If you want to get the most out of the mentor relationship, don't fight with your teacher and don't second guess him or her. Be coachable. Use their system and become an expert at it. Someday you may be successful and experienced enough to start developing your own unique approach. Then you will be an upline leader too. But as the old saying goes, you must learn to follow before you can lead. See, we basically playing an adult game of follow the leader. That's what he's talking about. Pillar number four, tell your story. Tell your story. See, stories sell, facts sell. Tell your story. Every salesman is a storyteller. In most cases, salesmen tell nuts and bolts stories about the use and benefits of the product or services they sell. Network marketers tell a different tale of story. They talk about themselves, their lives, their goals, their dreams, and their aspirations. When you make a pitch to your prospect, you're trying to sell that person on the fact that he should follow in your footsteps. You're trying to persuade him or her to make the same career move that you did by joining your company. And your personal story is critical in inspiring him or her to follow you. You know, we always tell our story, me and my wife's story. I told you, I shared part of it with you already. We have a nonprofit. I got involved in this business to raise money to do gang prevention work, turning things around in my community. And my wife loves to teach dance and theater. And we do not want to become grant dependent and dependent on other people to tell us how to go and do what we want to do. Because when you get a grant, that's what they do, y'all, for those who don't know. So you tell your story. Because everybody has a story, see? And then that way you can help people identify their story. What is their thing? We call it their why. What is your why? And if your why is not big enough to make you cry, it ain't a real why. What is your why? Because that's what's going to keep you going. Next pillar number five, keep it simple. You know, make sure you have a simple, duplicatable system that people can follow. The key to network marketing is duplication. You persuade people to join your downline by convincing them that they can duplicate what you and your sponsor are doing. The more complex or difficult your business seems, the less duplicatable it will appear to your prospect and less likely they will try it. See, you got to have a very duplicatable system. That was key to Amway, Mary Kay, you know, very duplicatable, very easy. You know, I'm thankful that the company that I'm involved in, we have a very easy, duplicatable system. Then next is, this is a big one here, number six. Don't waste time begging people to join your business. Reluctant prospects make poor distributors. Even if you succeed in signing them up, the people you want are eager beavers, those who are ready, willing, and able to start work now. A small but consistent percentage of your prospects will fit this category. Keep on looking until you find them. You know, you got to sift and sort. You got to go through what we call it, going through the numbers. But it's not being mean and cruel. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, you don't spend enough time with me. You know, I don't have time to sit around with people that just complain. Are you ready to go to work? That's how I ask people. Okay, this is the system. This is what we need to do. Okay, let's sit down. I'm going to make up a list. I said, make up a list? Yeah, okay, open up your cell phone. We'll go through your cell phone. Tell me about all of them different things you got in your cell phone. Out of that, I'll come up with the top 10 prospects that we're going to be able to share this wonderful opportunity with. And then we go to work. You also got, in my particular business, you have to have home parties. You're not willing to do that. And you got to go cold call. Cold calling ain't no fun. I know how to do it. I do it at times, but I like to stay in the warm market. So you have to sift and you have to sort. You got to find people that really want this. Not people that say they want it, but people that want it based on their actions. And pillar number seven, which is so key, and everyone out there that's a network marketer, I know you agree with me, is you got to support your downline. And it's the same if you have a small business. You have to support your employees. And your downline, they're not your employees because they come to business, they go passion. But you got to support your downline. People make a commitment, they're going to be involved in what you're doing. You have to support them. You have to support them. Now, I don't mean give them money. I mean be there to help them with their business and encourage and promote. Hey, you know, it's so much more to cover in this book, Wave 4, and I might do a follow-up to this, Wave 4, Part 2. But our time has come to an end. You know, time goes fast when you're having fun. And I really hope you enjoyed this information. And you can go on Amazon.com and you can get this book, Wave 4, Network Marketing in the 21st Century by Richard Pope. Also, if you got any questions or things that you'd like to know more concerning the book, you can shoot me a text at 252-106-0774, and, you know, I'll get back to you. Again, that number is 252-106-0774, and in your text you say, I want to know more about Wave 4, and we'll set up a means in which I can share with you some more information from this wonderful, phenomenal book. Remember, people, the end of jobs have come. So whatever it is that you're doing, either build yourself a business, find yourself a network marketing company that you can get involved in, because if you're looking for a job, you're going to be looking for a long, long time. You're like that guy that's looking for the diamonds, and he had them in his backyard, but he went somewhere else to look for them and eventually got frustrated and killed himself. And we see people killing themselves today with drugs, alcohol, and all kind of other stuff because they're frustrated. They don't know why they're frustrated, but they're frustrated. They can't understand why they can't find a job because jobs don't exist no more. Hey, this has been Baba Jackie this morning here on Home Based Business 101. Hey, it's been truly a pleasure, and we really enjoyed, you know, sharing information. God bless you, and have a great and wonderful week. And look out for posts. We'll probably do Wave 4 Part 2, and I'll let you know what day that I will put that out there. And, again, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in this morning. Hey, have a great and wonderful Sunday. Peace.